Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is Johnny Blazes, and you are listening to Why Are People Into That? With Tina Horn.
Perfect. I love you.
I love you too.
Welcome to the 36th episode of Why Are People Into That? The podcast that's searching for your main line. My guest for this episode is Maxwell Lander, a Canadian photographer like no other. Max's new book is called Carnal Anomaly, which, full disclosure slash bragging, I creative directed, but Max has creativity out the wazoo, so he didn't really need that much direction. Carnal Anomaly is a collection of fetish photographs, original fetish photographs, that feature a lot of blood. And so I wanted to talk to Max about the connection between sex and violence in BDSM and in his work. Just a word to the wise. In this episode, Max and I talk about menstrual blood, as well as many different kinky sex activities that involve consensually breaking the skin. Now, Max and I both have a lot of risk-aware experience with this kind of play, but there are many great resources on places like Kink Academy for safety and fun with blood play. Also, I've repeated some stories in this episode to a few of my kinkiest friends, and they squirmed a lot and asked me not to talk about it anymore, so maybe don't listen to this one at the gym. Let's see, if you're in LA on April 6th, I'm teaching a free digital dirty talk class at the Pleasure Chest. It's at 8 p.m. Come learn to swipe, Skype, sext, and selfie, and afterwards maybe we'll all go to karaoke. If you like this show and want to support it, please consider pledging my Patreon. I'm posting a new original writing project there, The A to Z of Queer Sex. Read it for as little as $5 a month at patreon.com/TinaHorn. That's patreon.com/TinaHorn. So, mix equal parts red food dye with Karo syrup as we explore why are people into blood.
Rough.
It's like there's a face on the neck, but I don't know what it is.
It sounded like you're about to use sexy voice.
How is that? Because you know me really well?
Maybe. It was just like, it was all soft and like, I don't know.
All of a sudden I went soft. Is my sexy voice soft?
I feel like general sexy voice is soft, but like,
no, my sexy voice is hard.
And also a 14-year-old at that one.
Difficult.
Oh, I'm so sexy right now. That would be Max trying to do sexy voice. Would be like, I don't know what I'm doing. Hi.
Max. Well, Lander, or should I say Maxwellander?
Only that one time.
only that one time,
guys.
Which time was that, Max?
Shush.
Okay.
The internet knows. The internet knows what time that was. Also, IMDb, I found out the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Max Wellander has an IMDb.
Oh, I guess Tina Horn probably has an IMDb.
If Max Wellander has an IMDb, Tina Horn for sure has an IMDb.
Oh my God, I finally made it. You get a star on the Hollywood Boulevard when you are on IMDb, right?
It's because it's a really, really long boulevard.
It's so long.
So long.
There's
anybody that's been in anything ever.
Because everybody walks in L.A.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a bunch of true things that we're talking about.
I know for sure that happens because I have been to L.A. so many times.
And also, you know, just around the corner from where we are right now is Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. And if you're on IMDb, you get to, there's a wax figure of you that they make.
Yeah, yeah.
That's there.
They came and took my measurements in Canada.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. But then they had to convert them, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
I got skinnier or something. I don't know.
The metric system.
We sound so smart right now.
Celsius.
So smart. Celsius. Yeah. They took my stomach measurements in Celsius. For sure.
Sometimes when there's this digital sign just above Dumbo in Brooklyn, and I can see it from my office window, and sometimes when it tells you what time it is, and it tells you what degrees Celsius it is, and it tells you what degrees Fahrenheit it is, and whenever it says what degrees Celsius it is I always think that's what temperature Max thinks it is.
Max thinks it is. It's not a real measurement. It's just Max thinks it's that temperature.
So Max Wellander, despite being, or not despite, in addition to being Canadian.
Yep, true facts.
You also have many other fine qualities, including being a photographer of the professional variety and a videographer.
Sometimes.
Yeah. You take sexy pictures. Most of your pictures are sexual.
I mean, like. Well, less the ones people pay me for, but most of them
Why
still.
Why don't people pay for sexy pictures anymore? What is the world coming to?
I feel like that's a whole other podcast. Why don't people pay for sexy pictures?
You are a feminist porn award-winning pornographer.
Also that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. You won the Golden Beaver Award for making porn and living in Canada. Good job.
Yep.
And then didn't you win another one?
Yeah, yeah. Best short.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it has a title. I think it's just Best Short.
Best Short.
Sure. We're going to go with that.
And
so many years ago.
And I know, doesn't it seem like ancient history?
Yeah.
But it is really great when people are like, I have an opinion. And then you can just say, well, as a feminist porn award winning pornographer.
Your opinion is not valid? Is that what I'm saying at the end of that? Because I feel like that's what I would be saying.
Yeah. No, you can say I'm now qualified to be the most informed person in the room.
Yeah.
Because people don't really know what it means.
Which is great. Like, as a 3-time university dropout, that actually I need, like, that that little tag.
You say that at bars? Are you like, as a 3-time university dropout?
When people talk about the importance of education, I for sure do. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because like, look at
well,
you.
Yeah, look at you. Me. Such a pinnacle of success. Me.
Including this book that we have right here, which is hardcover and is called Carnal Anomaly. Mm-hmm. And is about sex, or is sexual. The book
sexual
is sexual.
For sure.
And fetishy and dark. And has lots of, well, I was teasing you the other day about like combining sex and violence.
Body horror was a thing that came up a lot.
Yes.
I don't find it that scandalous, but other people do.
Yeah.
So I gotta own it. It doesn't feel particularly like explicitly sexual or super violent to me.
Mm.
But I recognize like that
gun,
like
the gun blowjob.
That just seems like normal, like Saturday afternoon. Like what? I don't know. That's not everybody
it's
else's Saturday afternoon.
Special. Yeah.
Especially in Canada, where we have so many guns. So many guns in Canada.
And healthcare.
And healthcare.
Yeah.
So gun blowjobs, less of a concern, really, if you know.
Yeah.
Because healthcare solves that problem.
Something goes wrong with that, you just go
to
get
the
it taken. Yeah, to the healthcare
to the
spot.
Healthcare.
Yeah.
More true facts. So many true facts.
I am an expert in all things North American, and our lovely neighbors to the north. So, but right now we're in New York City.
Yeah, we are.
In the Night Lounge.
Nope, Night Hotel, but close.
Yeah, I have to tell you, Google Maps said Night Lounge, and I was like, I guess I'm going to a lounge.
I mean, there's a lounge downstairs, so I'm sure that is, in fact, the Night Lounge.
You know, I've said this on the show before, but it is so funny when I come to podcast or really do anything in a fancy hotel, and I just have this, like, muscle memory, like, psychological, like, snap. I walk in the door, and I'm like, keep it cool, just walk to the elevator, because I'm like, every fancy hotel I've ever been in is as a hooker, so I'm just like, got my headphones on, look like I belong, waiting for this elevator, giving people the side eye, cool, okay, this person that just got out of the elevator is also a John, like
so we had a thought when we were in here, because apparently we found this out later, but there's a phone in the bathroom.
I noticed that.
And we could not figure out why there would be a phone in the bathroom. This might be a fancy hotel. It is not a large hotel room.
Right.
The phone in the bathroom is 10 feet from the phone in the bedroom.
Right.
And we had this moment where we were like, is this a safety thing? Like, is this because people need to have access to, like, locking themselves in the bathroom, or need to be able to, like, call? Like, we had this, like, maybe this hotel is secretly really sex worker friendly, and so they, like, put, like, multiple phones in different rooms so that people could call people while having some privacy while still in it. And then we found out that it's, in order to get a 4-star rating, you have to have a hotel, you have to have a bathroom phone, which is way less exciting. But
what, that is that some sort of, like, class thing?
I mean, I guess, like, I'm sure there's some silly
also
rating.
I have to bring it to you. Times Square has not been friendly to sex workers for I assumed as much. I really wanted
it was one of those, like, oh, in my fantasy land, in my brain, this is a safety precaution for anybody who needs to, like, access a phone that isn't in bed.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
It's a really bad phone. Also, it's definitely a, we want a 4-star phone, not we want to be fancy. And
it's not like a lobster phone.
No, it's a shit phone. Like, it, we were, you know, here with other people in other rooms in this hotel, and there were definitely many jokes about how you could just call somebody up while you're sitting on the toilet in the morning, being like, "How's your poop schedule? Your poop schedule okay? My poop schedule feels okay." We're like, "All right, I'll meet you for breakfast in half an hour." Like that.
Do you know that I hate that word that starts with P?
Oh, I was gonna say poop or shit. Which one? But
I don't mind shit. For some reason, I hate the P word. I don't mind talking about the vulgar stuff. It's just that word. I don't know why.
Is it bad that makes me want to say it a little bit more?
No, that's just what I've come to expect from you, though.
Good. I mean, I can go back to saying shit. That just feels so harsh. So harsh. Like,
I mean, it's kind of harsh.
I feel like we're now talking about your shit schedule, because mine feels more like a poop schedule, frankly. Like, it doesn't feel super harsh.
Oh, that word.
So off
track. My movements are fine. You could set your watch by them. Anyway, moving on. We're talking about blood today. Great segue.
It would have been really great if we were talking about poop, but we're not, because
God,
I can't answer that question.
I'm gonna bleep that word out if it's not allowed on my podcast. Of all the vulgar things that I like to say,
I'm kind of happy to have discovered such a sticking point of yours, though. That look, I know they all can't see it, but that look is so good.
So we're in a really, you described it to me the other day as being like a fancy sex club, and I have to say, you gave it the correct review. It's very black.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it actually kind of looks like your room and your apartment in Toronto.
Oh, I painted my bedroom white.
That's so strange.
It was black before, but now it's white. I'm thinking about painting it red. I'm actually thinking about doing weird blood pattern, actually, on
the blood.
Wall.
Oh, like a blood splatter.
Yeah. I'm thinking about just picking up a little tiny half pint of paint and throwing it at the wall so it looks like a blood splatter. I don't know if my landlords would appreciate that so much, but I figure the sex
toy. Or your
toy
Airbnb
display,
guests.
Yeah. It's an extra $50 if you want the blood room.
But so here we are. In a Times Square hotel, because you've lost your mind.
Yep.
And I'm so glad you're visiting. And it's great to see you. And I am really excited to have you on the show.
It has been in the making for so long.
So
in
long.
My mind, at least. It's been in the making for so long.
Oh, that's nice. And So we're going to talk about why are people into blood?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, specifically blood, like, when it's not where it's supposed to be.
Yeah. I mean, like, people, I think, are pretty into, like, blood as a, like, part of our functioning, generally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But so...
I'm less into the functional reasons for being into blood.
So what are some... Okay. What's hot about blood?
Such a weighted question. I have been trying to prepare myself for answering this question because I obviously knew it was going to come up. Excuse me. And I feel like I'm going to make a lot of statements about me because I haven't found a lot of people to have this conversation with.
Mm.
And was on a different, like, was on a radio show a while back, and we were talking about, before the show, we were talking about it being a thing that, person I was chatting with was writing an article about, and he had a really hard time finding people to talk about it also.
Mm.
And so I don't know what that's about, because for me it's kind of, let's talk about blood all the time. So I have very little, whereas other things that I feel like we could talk about, I could be like, I've heard this story from this person and I get a general sense of these things.
This is perfect.
This is
going to be hear.
All, I mean, I obviously am hugely aesthetically inclined towards it, and I feel like that would be a large part of where it becomes a fun erotic thing also.
Yeah.
I find it very
Is there a connection between aesthetics and erotics for you?
Might there be? I don't know.
Oh. Mightn't there be?
I mean, and what's funny is, this is another, don't slap my naked leg.
It's totally fine.
Mid-podcast.
Oh no, now they know we're not wearing pants.
Guys, we're in a sexy hotel and there's three people in this bed and only two of them are speaking and nobody's wearing pants.
Do you want to know something funny? Is that I've had a few people like say to me that they assume that all of the times that I am interviewing people in my bed or in a hotel bed with no pants on, that they assume that we then have sex. And
well, that's funny.
It's cute, right?
Does that just mean that people don't usually hang out with their friends without pants? I feel like that's sad for them.
I mean, I guess people just assume that I have bad boundaries. Or that the only way that I can get people to talk is to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
I mean, like, I look pretty great without pants on. So it also could be, like, an uncontrollable urge. I would feel okay with that being a thing. It's just like, oh, Max not in pants. Must bone. I hope people know me well enough to know that I'm not serious when I say these things.
So... Thigh slapping.
But
you were, I totally derailed you. You were talking about, yes. So you, erotics and aesthetics.
Erotics. Aesthetics.
Are linked.
Yes. Yeah. What's funny is they are and they aren't. I feel like it's taken me a really long time to get to a place where I actually kind of own where those things overlap for me. For a lot of the time, aesthetics get stuck in work realm, and I have a hard time like crafting aesthetic things that I actually have any kind of erotic connection to. Although my like entrance into shooting porn was definitely, there is nothing aesthetically pleasing for me in the world of porn, so I should make some of that.
Yeah, and you did.
I did. I made some of that. And
I do make the prettiest porn.
that sound. whatevs. Totally fine. Yeah, I feel like blood is not new to my aesthetic sensibilities, but is definitely making a bigger play in it lately. And I would say is also potentially making a bigger play in it erotically, maybe? I don't know. It's always been there.
So what's the appeal?
I think, I mean, there is just the purely, it is, I find it incredibly pretty.
So tell me what you find pretty about it. Do you find it pretty when it's splattered on the wall? You find it pretty when it's like coming out of someone's veins? Like you find it
yes.
Like cascading down a stairway and the hallway and The Shining. Like,
oh, yeah. All those things.
Yeah. Like a naked girl covered in it, yes. Running, screaming down a hallway. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like paint.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. I like it all over the things. On naked bodies is definitely better than not on naked bodies.
Sure.
It's a general life rule. I would say that applies.
But it's not, but it's different if it's actual blood versus like red paint or like red chocolate, like chocolate syrup with like red food dye, right? Like the fat, like when something
is chocolate is great also.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, those are my two weaknesses. So I don't know if I can, I don't know if I can 100% say that like a naked human covered in chocolate versus, I don't know where I would go if it was like doorway number one is naked bloody human and doorway number two is naked chocolatey human.
I mean, why do you have to choose? That'd be hard. Just mix it up.
I have my own room. Please come this way.
Okay, but so, but like the fact, it's not just the aesthetic. There's, it's also the fact that it's blood. So it's like,
yeah, totally.
It's, so it, I mean, it's like dangerous paint.
Yeah, dangerous. I would say that a huge part, I mean, it's interesting because I think that it, for a lot of people, it has to do with like danger and even I would go so far as to say like the reason that violence is sometimes appealing is because of its links to unhindered passion and all of that kind of stuff. For me, I would say blood becomes super, it becomes super erotic when it has to do with like intimacy and vulnerability.
Right.
Right. Because it's not, I will shoot it in a way that looks in the moment and heated and all, I won't play with it that way. Mm. Right. And so visually it can be really appealing to look like it just happened or somebody has like been completely covered or been in that waterfall down the stairs, like on any of those moments, but that would never be a thing when translated to anything sexual. It would be real for me when it has to do with the sexy things. It's definitely like, oh, you trust me a lot. You're incredibly vulnerable. This is a display of us. I think that it's never felt super dangerous. I know that for some people it is a danger thing and that blood itself can be super dangerous, right?
But vulnerability and danger are linked because totally. The reason that when you're playing, and we'll talk about some of the ways that you can play with blood, but if you're playing with someone with bloodletting or piercing or knife play or any of the other things that we could talk about, the reason that it creates so much intimacy and vulnerability and trust is that if you lose control, very bad things could happen.
Totally. Totally. And I think I've never, well, I'm more so now, but when I was younger and starting out playing with things, I was very, very controlled. Mm. I've always been super controlled when learning skills and trying new things.
As one should be, yes. Yeah.
And I don't have the past of like, I just tried a bunch of stuff and then later on I figured out how to do it safely because of my very unique and specific introductions to kink being like a second gen kinkster. Mm. There was a lot of like, this is how you go about learning new skills. This is, if you're interested in a thing, you need to talk to somebody who's been doing it for a really long time and ask them to do it to you and then like bottom before you top and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because you're kink spawn, you're leather spawn.
I am in fact leather spawn. And so I definitely learned, I think, in a pretty great way. And so it didn't feel, and there was a lot of working up, so it never really felt that out of control. I know that it never felt that way for me. I don't think it felt that way for the people on the other end of it. Uh-huh. Right? I'm sure that me holding a scalpel for somebody else is like, well, I do feel a little nervous, and there is a little bit of danger involved.
Yeah. And isn't it interesting, too, because a lot of that, like, some of that is intellectual, but a lot of that is tapping into a primal reaction. Like, honestly, even just the word scalpel makes, like, on a cellular level, my body's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, are totally. We, settle
what's,
down.
What's are we ready? What's happening?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I... Yeah, scalpel's such a good word. I'm just going to take a moment and sit with the scalpel memory. I think that's... I mean, that for me is most of play and most of BDSM, right? Like, how what do is? We... Like, tapping into some kind of animal urge, instinct, something, response, right?
Yeah.
I've never been... I've been controlled in a safety way. I've never been about control as an element of the dynamic in a huge way. Hmm. And I would say that I definitely lean towards things that are a little bit more primal, although I hate the word primal, but that's fine.
Do you prefer carnal? As in I used carnal to. Anomaly.
Yes, as in that thing that I did at one time.
The name of your book, which people can... Where can people get Carnal Anomaly?
Carnalanomaly.com.
Oh.
So convenient. The internet.
I haven't looked at that yet. I don't think.
It's really pretty. There's a lot of blood there.
Oh, great.
There's a lot of blood. Yeah. If you want to see some weird blood, that's weird the place blood. To do it.
Great. And then people can buy your book.
And then people can buy my book and see more weird blood.
So, Max, tell me if I have people who are listening who are like, what the actual fuck are they talking about?
How does one play with blood?
Or are they, or they're like, I'm so intrigued. Tell me more. Like, you know, what is a good first way to play with this amazing feeling that you can get from playing with blood?
I mean, my inclination is to say menstrual blood, but... I'm really also...
I mean, you're going to throw it out anyway, so.
Right? You might as well use that for something.
Yes, let's talk about menstrual blood.
I love menstrual blood so much.
Yeah.
I mean, sadly, I don't produce any of my own accord anymore. but I do love it. I would... Yeah,
there's
yeah.
plenty.
There's lots in the world. You can find it. Lots of people do it. It's
people are just giving it away.
Yeah, you could pay for it on the internet somewhere, I'm sure. I feel less good about that.
Hey, you know, like if I knew where I could put it in, like a little vial and send it.
Yeah,
to someone,
I
would.
I'm pretty sure we can make that happen.
All right, we'll talk. hatching plots.
I would wear a tiny vial of your menstrual blood around my neck on a necklace.
Max,
I would for sure
you.
Wear that. That's that would be
so
cute as shit.
Billy Bob Thornton, yes. Circa 1997.
Totally. Alternatively, we could make a blood painting and I could hang it above my bed.
Oh.
I would do that.
Oh.
Yeah, no, that would be great. Yeah, menstrual. I mean, menstrual blood's easy. I love menstrual blood. A lot of people are weirded out by it, and I don't.
No, it's no friend of mine.
No friend of mine. A couple friends of mine, actually, and I love them very dearly, and we've had many conversations about it, and I totally am like, wow, I just don't get that, but okay.
Yeah.
It's never been any kind of deterrent for me. In fact, I think I've probably freaked a couple partners out with my enthusiasm about it. I quite infamously in my circles have also eaten it as ice cream topping.
Oh my god.
Which is one of my favorite.
I hope everyone listening understands why we're friends.
I mean, more they might not have until that moment.
What did that taste like?
It's just medley.
Yeah.
It's just medley. It happened on more than one occasion because it was so much fun.
Really complimented by the sweetness of the... What flavor of ice cream?
I think we did chocolate. If I remember correctly, it was... I remember less about the ice cream
it's
specifically.
It's very rich.
Yeah. It was... I think it was like Breyers, some variety. Just to get the whole picture.
All right, we need to
going.
Make that Breyers money now. Yeah.
Sponsored by... I'm going to get a phone call, an angry one. Yeah, no, that was super great. I think part of the appeal of that was definitely this is a thing that people find weirdly gross or have a lot of disgust around.
So part of why you do it is because you're a provocateur.
Sure.
You like to
fuck
with people.
For sure do.
Yeah.
Well, and that was fun because I was in a partnership at the time where that kind of for sure went both ways, where I was like, I'm just going to get fucked with also. Great.
Yeah.
Totally
like
into that.
Like one-upmanship.
Yeah. You're going to see this thing that just came out of my vag, aka my diva cup, going on your ice cream. Also because I like a lot of things that have to do with food, but I don't like play with food, but I do like being fed because it, you know, generally feeds into my like, eat this, you fat fuck. Love it. My favorite attitude that anybody can ever throw at me, ever. I'm not even kidding. Love it. If you don't know me and you've heard this podcast, feel free to walk up to me on the street and say, hey, fat fucker. And I'll be like, yes, you're awesome. Insta friends.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And so the like being fed a thing is also super great. Mm-hmm. And I think being fed something that people traditionally have this like, ew, I don't want that anywhere near my mouth specifically. Because when you talk about sex, a lot of people's counter will around menstrual blood frequently has to do with oral sex.
Yeah.
And kind of flipping that to be that overt of like, this is going in your mouth and you're not even going to give me orgasms or pleasure or any variety other than like watching you eat this was super great. all about that. And I would say that Menstrual Blood is a really easy entry point for seeing if you like blood.
Yeah.
There's no danger involved other than playing with somebody who you're bonded with.
Yes, yes. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how and when to talk about this, but I suppose that now it might be as good a time as any to say that, of course, the only...
Fluid bonding,
you know, blood and... Oh, man, I don't even know how to address this PSA, or if it's even necessary. Yeah, as long as you're fluid bonded with someone and you're making a risk aware assessment, yeah. And you've been tested, then, go to town.
Yeah.
All the toppings.
Eat that blood.
menstrual play. That is fantastic. Also one of the last taboos of pornography on the internet.
Is it really? I mean, I don't follow pornography on the internet. I haven't found their Twitter account yet, but
it's found you. it's one of the things that you can't, like, credit card companies will often have like two or three things that you can't portray in your porn, or they won't
process payments.
They won't process payments, which, if you're gonna put stuff online and you want to make money off of it, you usually need that. And blood is one of them, and it doesn't matter how the blood came from the body, even if it's the way that we all have to put up with all the time, and might as well eroticize,
yeah.
Or even just be like NPD.
It's a thing that happens, yeah.
Yeah.
NPD, for sure.
So that's one of them. Also, penetration during bondage, which won't interest you at all. Fisting, also not interesting.
Terrible.
To you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
all those things.
Yeah, no, thank goodness you can't see that.
I'm so glad that the internet is a safe place for me.
Thank goodness for credit cards, right?
Which I don't have, so great.
Perfect.
Banks don't trust me, so yeah.
And why should they?
Why? They should not. They've learned. They should not. I will buy bloody penetrative bondage fisting sex if you give me a credit card. yep.
There is a section when you do have to do those credit reports. Like, there's a part for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if it's the same in Canada. We tend to be different. I know that fisting, I don't think that fisting is as big a deal in Canada, but I wonder.
Yeah, but
if
the internet
is well, yes, the internet is everywhere.
It's global.
I know there's weird porn things, but I wonder. I'm curious, and now I'm curious about like blood portrayal legalities, because Canada has different image laws around obscenity, and so I'm always a little bit curious as to what. I mean, I don't pay a ton of attention to them because I feel
do what you want.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything like weird or harmful or any of that, so I tend to be like whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I am doing weird things. I'm not doing anything harmful, but and therefore I don't tend to pay attention to them so much. But
I mean, sure. I would say, considering the fact that you have this book and you're like about to take it across the border, that you might actually want to be more informed about that.
Thank you. I go tomorrow. I'm now not panicking even a little bit.
Nope.
Not a little panicking.
Just leave the poppers behind. You'll be fine.
So sad. Love them so much.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Do drugs. No drugs.
Max. So, conveniently, half the population or so of the planet just produces lots of fun blood to play with. All the time.
Mm-hmm.
What about if you're not bleeding? Yay. or you don't bleed? Also yay. what would be a good way to get into someone's body and get at their blood so you can play with it?
Such a creepy way to say that. I mean, so I hesitate to give advice on a podcast, because I genuinely think that the best way to get into things that are harder are to find people that know how to do it, that you can go with it in person, right?
Well,
like, find a human.
So I also agree and endorse that, and would say, in case that's not self-evident, this
is totally
the kind of play that you should really be very educated about before you attempt it. And there are lots of really awesome resources for that. So don't try this at home unless you already know what you're doing.
Yeah, or you have somebody who will try it who's done it before.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember. I feel like when I started, which was a long time ago, I may have asked people for advice and then tried to figure it out myself. But I was...
As you say, not as you do.
Yes, and I was an unhappy teenager.
Right.
And so actually had a little bit of experience with those things myself.
Right.
And while that is an unfortunate place for that familiarity to come from, yeah, it did mean that I was way more comfortable with breaking skin. And
absolutely.
Which I think is like true for a lot of people. Yeah. That have kind of, and what's interesting for me is that when I was a teenager and doing all kinds of like self-harmy things, it never felt like self-harm. It always like, that was the beginning of like, I would say that's one of my kink roots. Mm. It was a like, oh, this feels great. And I should do that because the world doesn't feel great, as opposed to a lot of reasons that other people do that.
So it was more like masturbation.
A little bit. Yeah. Especially with branding. That was my jam.
Branding.
That was my jam when I was a teenager.
Branding make you bleed?
No. No, sad. Unfortunately. I love the sensation of branding, mm-hmm, and the visual of bleeding.
Oh, I wish
there was a way to combine those two. That'd be great. If the internet knows of a way to combine those two, please find me and tell me.
You could brand one person while bloodletting another person right next to them.
True. I guess I could just brand somebody who is, in fact, bleeding. It could just be a menstrual blood thing.
Oh, there you go.
I could have somebody who is menstruating brand me. That would be the ideal Maxwell situation. Life goals.
I am getting a nice visual there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All about that. I mean, I play with a variety of things, or I have played with a variety of things. The reason that I reference scalpels is because I find them to be one of the safest ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Because they're really clean, so they cut clean.
Right.
You can buy them that are...
It's almost like they were meant for...
cutting what? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they have some actual purpose, but I use them for this. I use them for cutting open skin. I don't know what they're really made for. You can buy them in disposable form,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
which is super great.
That's great for sterilization.
Yeah.
And because unless you have... What is that thing called? An autoclave?
Yeah. You can oven... Oh, anything, yeah, right? Like you can throw, yeah, a metal one in the oven.
Because metal is non-porous.
Yeah.
Yeah. There
and,
you go.
And you can also boil it. I find it...
Boiling will disinfect but not sterilize.
Yeah. I find it just easier to be like, this is the thing I'm using in this moment.
And then dispose of it like a needle, which I'm sure we will also talk about. Mm-hmm, piercings. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would definitely, I haven't bought a metal scalpel in an incredibly long time. Yeah. If I had one consistent person that I was doing that with,
yeah,
that would be a thing that I would contemplate. But I love knives. And
The devil, you say?
Oh, I love them so much. And they're a trickier thing to play with. And so definitely started, like, did some nice stuff when I was younger and then started buying some scalpels because it is just smoother. The potential problem with scalpels is that they go, it's like butter.
Yeah.
And so if you don't know what you're doing, it's easy to go too deep. And that's not a thing that we ever really want to do.
No. But thus, the excitement of the danger.
Yeah.
And
I've been cut too deep a couple times and it is less than ideal, but not, like, I've never had it in a life-threatening way and stick to parts of my body.
What is too deep?
I don't like doing anything that, like, require. You don't want to require stitches. That's not a goal of mine.
Right.
Anything that won't close itself. It's kind of like, depending on where you are in the body and the person's body and their layers, sure, of skin. Like, there's so many different variables. But
so, what is a good place on the body to, like? I have so many questions. Let's walk through this step by step. So let's say that you have a scalpel and
I'm posed with my scalpel for all of you on the internet. I am posed.
Is that proper scalpel holding posture?
Oh, girl. It's kind of like a pen. I would say kind of like a pen.
It's like a pen. And we're going to do a blood play scene, right? So first of all, where are you going to cut me?
If it's your first time.
Let's say it's my first time. I actually have never done it.
There you go. Probably the tops of your thighs.
Okay.
There's like
and some why is that?
Meaty, fleshy, good bits
there. I'll say.
I can tell.
Luckily, I'm pantsless. Not wearing pants.
Pantsless. Yeah, and that tends to be a place where, like, I mean, no worry, you don't want to go anywhere super thick, but or it's super deep, but that is a little bit more forgiving. I've done a lot of stuff on shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's I tend to play in the same areas, kind of regardless of what I'm doing, right? Like, you stick to the, like, I'm going to hit you. I'm going to hit you in the meaty areas.
I mean, that makes sense.
Like, there's sensitive body parts are sensitive body parts, and so I'm not going to go. I wouldn't go anywhere below the knee. There's not a huge appeal to me going below the knee anyway.
Right.
But I'm not a huge, like, you could do some stuff on upper arms. You could do some stuff on lower arms, but that wouldn't be, that's less appealing to me. I like the general central torso and thigh situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is there anywhere that that one should definitely not cut when doing this kind of play?
I'm sure there are lots of places. The neck comes to mind.
We are. Oh God. Isn't it so? Okay. Can I say something? I haven't done a lot of this kind of play. I also do really enjoy things that disturb and gross people out. Surprise! Everyone's surprise faces are on now. But I it is incredible to me how the, like, visceral, mm-hmm. physical response that, like, the, like, a word like scalpel and you just, even the suggestion of the neck, something going wrong with the neck. Even when you said lower arms, I was like, oh God, like.
I meant the top of the lower arms, just to be clear.
Gotcha, but you see what I'm saying? Like, yeah, and I'm not your average, like, you know, pansy about this kind of thing, but it's a good thing that we have this survival instinct that's like, please don't. I need that to stay where it is for the most part. But there are
generally places... I need my skin to stay closed where it is closed. Yes. Thank you. There are some openings in it and those can be open, and generally I would like no other openings. Yeah, I mean, it's the same, like, anywhere where you have veins and arteries close to the skin is to be avoided, right? So there's a lot of places kicking around your knee and around your armpits. I would never go anywhere near any of that. I probably wouldn't ever do anything on the wrists. That would never be. I know a lot of people have, because a lot of people have those histories, and I would just never. It's not a thing. I'm not. That's not the kind of play that I'm into.
Yeah,
because it has a lot of imagery references that would be appealing for some people and not so appealing for me.
I know exactly what you mean.
I tend to, the, like, boob chesticle,
yeah,
region.
Pectoral.
Is a thing that I kind of like a lot.
Yeah. Well, that has, of course, with any kind of play in that area, has the added benefit of the eye contact, mm-hmm, and the, like, mm-hmm. super, you know, getting all up in someone's face.
I also am a boob man.
You don't say.
Such a boob man. Also, by the book, boobs, blood. Everything with bees. Also butts. There are definitely butts and blowjobs in there. So many bees.
In your book?
In the book. So many bees. Yeah. So
and babes.
Also babes.
Barbed wire? Is there any barbed wire?
There's no barbed wire. Nope, there's no barbed wire. Damn it. That's it.
You definitely missed an opportunity.
I know. I really should have done that.
Have you ever seen Barbed Wire, the Pamela Anderson
movie? Oh, I for sure
movie?
Have. Yeah. I for sure
okay.
have.
Okay, no
Speaking
surprise
Speaking of
there.
Boobs. That woman. Yep. I would, and actually, speaking of chests, super great place for piercing. My favorite place for piercing.
Okay, so let's talk about piercing. So here's what I want to say about piercing. Now, that is something that I have done, mm-hmm. as a top and as a bottom. It's actually quite popular for like the BDSM client who wants to go a step further, you know? And I fucking love it.
It's glorious.
And the reason that I love it, and I'm looking forward to doing an entire episode just about piercing, is that it is so exhilarating. I mean, it's exhilarating, and it creates this concentration that is just, I've never experienced anything else quite like it. And part of the reason that it creates that concentration is when you're doing BDSM and you're playing, you're making risk aware assessments, and you're, you know, you're playing with danger, but you're doing it in a way that you're very cognizant and controlled and establishing trust and negotiation and like all of that good stuff. It just, the rest of the world melts away and you just feel like so high, frankly. And for me, as a top and as a bottom, like as a top, like piercing someone and just being like, I did that. And as a bottom, I'm just like, nothing makes me higher.
It's like, it's pretty instant, the adrenaline with piercing.
Yeah.
It's very similar with cutting.
Right.
There is, because there, it is a pin focus, right? Like you are, it is so body center specific. Like when you are cutting somebody, it, like I find both, I'm only aware, and when I have been cut, like both bottoming and topping, it becomes like, oh, I'm aware of all of the tiny hair follicles that are on that section of skin, and whether or not you have any goosebumps and all of that kind of stuff. Like it's very, very, very pin focused. And sometimes I find that that stuff becomes, really does heighten the high feel.
Yeah.
Like a good, whatever, a good beating is great for a high also, but there's something that's very like specific and directed and focused about most of the things that involve puncturing or breaking of skin.
It's just not the kind of thing that, I mean, maybe there are like jaded people out there, but it's not the kind of thing that you kind of do like idly, sort of sloppy, like half paying attention. I mean, Lord knows, I'm sure that there are people who are doing a sloppy job, and that, you know.
I can maintain a conversation and flog someone. I can't maintain a conversation and cut them.
There you go.
I feel like that's a thing where I'm like, I could hit, like, I can't really do anything else because it pulls that focus.
Yeah.
And piercing is it's definitely an easier way to get into that kind of stuff than cutting, I would definitely say try piercing first.
And often with piercing, there's no blood.
Yes, often there is no blood, which is, I guess, fine. But whatever.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Cave Fantasy World. Max Lander and Tina Holm.
Hey, that's a good idea for a new podcast.
Into it. We'll just talk across borders about our weird gay fantasies.
Across borders. As much as I would love to talk about your gay fantasy world.
We're talking about blood.
I have to go see Toni Morrison about a thing. So there are a couple of things that I want to make sure that we talk about. With blood. We've talked about like knife play.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about scalpels.
We talked about scalpels, and we talked about needles,
mm-hmm.
and we talked about period play.
Mm.
Are there other ways that you like to play with blood?
I don't think so. Now I want to have some like really unexpected answer to that question. I feel like feel like the ice cream situation is about as wild and crazy as I get.
That, oh, that's a good one. That's one for the books. Well, you know, it, but one thing that that occurred to me, I was thinking about that one time that I do you not want me to talk about the porn that we made?
No. We can absolutely talk about the porn. Yeah, no. That's the thing.
So I shot Max in his first porn.
In a different iteration of Max.
That's
how I conceptualize transitioning. Just a different iteration.
And one of the things that you wanted to do was knife play.
Yeah.
And so we did that, and it was incredibly hot and incredibly fun to watch and to shoot. But you did not break your scene partner's skin. Mm. And she did not break yours because you guys switched with the knife, right?
Did we? So many years ago.
I think so. But my point is that just watching the blade of a knife along someone's skin, and I've had that done to me as well. I've played with knives as well. Just the feeling of the blade against your skin is so dangerous and so exciting and so erotic. And I'm wondering if you will speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think that there are different, I think there are different fetishes at play. Like, there's a lot of compounding fetishes. Mm. Is that a phrase that I'm going to use right now? In at least my interest in
knives.
Knives.
What are
also,
some other ones?
And also blood, right? Like, there is, sometimes it is about, I do find knives to be a fetish object.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And separate from blood. They are great when playing with blood, because then I get to do all the things that I like doing. But knives in and of themselves
are a fetish object.
Totally a fetish object. As are things like guns. I'm really, like, weaponry, which is fascinating. In Canada, guns aren't really as much of a thing. Like, they're not accessible, and so I think I have a different relation to them than a lot of people.
They're more like a fantasy.
Yeah.
It's like gun, broadsword, same
thing. Yeah, it's the, we have pellet guns. You can buy those in, like, sports stores, like outdoorsy stores, but really it's not. And yes, there are guns in Canada, and I don't, like, there is guns and occasional
it's
guns
a violence, different, it's really, a different,
it's way different. It's way different.
Yeah, story.
And so it does, yeah, it does get lumped into fantasy land, as opposed to knives, which are very readily accessible. Although even that we have way stricter laws on. So they're even less accessible than they are in the States. I come to the States and I, like, walk around New York. I'm like, the stuff that you can buy here, I wish I could get that across the border.
You know, do you think that there is significance to the fact that all of these weapons are phallic?
And penetrative, maybe. I mean, maybe. Are we going to get all, like, Freudian with me and my lack of a dick?
It's there.
It's there.
It's in there somewhere.
It's a thing. It exists. That reminds me of that epic thing that I put on Facebook that people didn't really know was a joke, and some of them did or whatnot, and I was like, I'm a fat man without a dick who chose artist as a career. Of course my life is just one insecurity after another. Which is my sense of humor, and some people were very concerned and very like, oh no, you're great. And I was like, yeah, no, I know. I'm not, like, this isn't actually me being insecure.
Your ass looks great in this pants. Yeah.
I feel pretty okay with, like, me as a general thing that exists.
You're very confident.
It's true. It's true. Failing me so sometimes. But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that were definitely a part of it. I think there's a large part of it that's also, like, my frame of reference for taboo growing up in a queer second wave lesbian separatist household, like, super, super nonviolent, but, like, political riots totally a thing, like, totally an okay thing. Like, if you need to, like, take it to the streets and smash some faces for feminism, do that. for feminism. But also a lot of, like, I would say that I was raised in a house that, while openly kinky, really talked a lot about the worship of femininity.
Sure.
Which is the thing that I carry around all the time. I'm like, masculinity, put that away. except internally, apparently. But I think that, like, my upbringing led to a, like, weird, very distance relationship to everything phallic.
Interesting. And like a fetishized relationship,
like,
to it?
Like, maybe something akin to, like, maybe I've heard people have fetishes and they, like, come from some weird places like that. I don't know. Those people sound weird.
I'm going to send you an invoice for this therapy session.
It's okay. We have healthcare. All
like, damn you!
No, it's great. I don't have to MP pay. Threats. You still get paid.
Oh, great.
That's how that works. Yeah, oh, no, come be a medical practitioner.
Max, you know, something that that this conversation is reminding me about your work is that your work really sort of gleefully, you seem to relish towing the line between sex and violence. So I'm curious if you can talk about the relationship in your mind between sex and violence.
I think for me, a large part of it is just the semi-uncontrolled passion situation. And kind of existing in, like, unbridled territories.
Because ooh, Unbridled Territories is the name of your next book.
Oh, God. So many cheesy book names. I'm going to start my
That also next. Actually sounds like a Western romance.
Yeah. You guys didn't have them. We had something in Canada called, like, City Blue that was softcore on Friday nights that everybody who is my age remembers staying up late to watch.
Like the Red Shoe Diaries.
It came on. I think the Red Shoe Diaries came on just after that, actually. I think I remember staying up
David Duchovny was in the Red Shoe Diaries.
And The Hunger. Those followed one another. And I feel like that is very appealing. I feel like my life exists in a lot of self-control. And so it becomes super appealing to, like, fantasize and think about those realms where, like, what if I just didn't hold back?
Right.
I've also existed, now we're going to get all psychologizing.
Inevitable.
But I've existed, I exist in a lot of fear generally in life, or have before, and less so now that I'm just a giant dude. But I would say that a large part of that is also upbringing. Like, I've been around a lot of trauma, and not personal trauma, but raised by somebody who exists with a lot of trauma. And so developed a ton of fear, and therefore I'm very aware, I'm very controlled. Like, I'm the person that when you're in a group of people, I know that guy half a block away made a sketchy face at one point. Like, there's just a lot of awareness. And so I think for me, a large part of the fantasy comes from, like, what if I wasn't existing in that?
Right.
What if I wasn't super aware of all those safeties? And what if I, like, could just sit for a second in, I want to do this thing, so I'm going to fucking do this thing. And I'm going to, like, take it a little too far and maybe, like, make some regrets or some mistakes or something. And I think that's the thing that photographically I explore, because it's not a thing I would do with somebody else's body.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So I definitely feel like aesthetically, that's definitely a thing that I'm very interested in. And a large part of that is violence. Sex for me now, actually, like, working with sex for enough of a time, sex feels less interesting
than violence.
Yeah, for sure.
As
an aesthetic theme, nudity and sexuality and all of that. It's I like extremes, and there was a period in my life where showing a bunch of
teddies,
naked people, felt kind of scandalous, and it just doesn't feel scandalous anymore. And
so jaded.
But
I think that you'll agree that sex and violence are often aesthetically intertwined. And there are many images in popular culture of sexy girls covered in blood. Like, this is the thing that I'm always going on about, is, like, people think that kink is so weird and extreme and perverted, and yet it's incredibly obvious that we are interested in seeing these two things connected, sex and violence, specifically naked bodies and blood.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I would go so far as to say it's probably a base human thing, right? Like, we are pretty violent as a being that exists on the planet, and We are also super sexual, and I feel like those are a lot of our base needs in the world. So it makes sense to me. Base needs. Hopefully not. We're all serial killers at heart. But I...
You heard it here first, folks.
Making a bad name for humanity. But, yeah, I think that is, like, when we get into our urges, that line is super, super blurry. Anybody who's really kind of delved in there has that moment where you kind of, like, question where you would go or how far you would go or even what you want, like, where you want to go, right? And that's... I think they're intrinsically connected in some way, probably internally. I would almost quite like wonder if they are biological in, because there are drives.
Yeah.
Or they link into drives. Like I feel like a lot of the urge to do violent things or just to be physical, right? We don't have a lot of physical output. Like if you're either, I guarantee you every person who thinks CrossFit is a great idea really wishes that they could punch somebody consensually. Like that is an outlet for...
Super good point.
Like there is a reason that we are gym crazed as a human being, as a race. And I feel like it probably has to do with, or at least North America, it probably has to do with sexual oppression. But
I want to go back.
I don't trust any of you CrossFitters.
Let's get some of that CrossFit money too.
CrossFit and Briar.
I also want to go back to this sort of familiar scene of just sort of familiarize and normalize these things that we're talking about that probably a lot of listeners are like, this is so weird. Why would anybody be into this? But like, think about, I mean, I don't know about you. When I was a kid, I definitely pierced my ears with a safety pin. And I knew a lot of kids who pierced a lot of other parts of themselves with a safety pin. Why do we do that? We did that, A, because, like, fuck everything, hormones, also punk, told us to. And maybe sometimes peer pressure, like, we wanted to show people that we were tough. We wanted to show people that we weren't afraid. But it's also exhilarating to, you're learning your limits as a human, you're learning your limits in the world and you're taking control of your own body autonomy for a moment and saying, like, here's a way that I can mess with reality.
Well, and that's all that, that's like some of that drive stuff too, right? Like when we, part of that is a drug high that we love.
Right.
That is the, that we
natural are, drug high.
Yeah. Which we're more prone to delving into when we're younger, right? Like I did a lot of stupid, everybody did a lot of stupid stuff when they were teenagers because they were like, hey, adrenaline is fun. let's do that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where those things are linked also, is like the sexual response versus the fear response. They're super similar, right? Where you're it's like, if you're not actually afraid of harm, they are incredibly similar responses. Well, right?
And that's what BDSM is sort of manipulating your nervous responses, your sympathetic and or parasympathetic nervous responses, combined with an intellectual assurance that you are safe and that you can trust what's happening.
Yeah.
But your body feels fear, but your mind knows that you're okay. It's exhilarating.
Yeah, and those things get super confusing when you don't have that. I remember the first time I got into a car accident. I've only been really in one car accident. It happened to happen after I watched Crash.
Oh God! Wait, the David Cronenberg movie?
Yes.
Well, folks, it took us almost an hour to start to talk about David Cronenberg.
Do you always talk about David Cronenberg? I'm like,
no, I mean, this is the episode about blood, and I'm talking to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Also, we were talking about David Cronenberg in the cab the other day.
I know, and I'm not a huge fan of his, but
really?
Crash. Yeah, it's very like external perspective. Even Crash was like, I don't know. You like kinky imagery, and I don't know I don't feel a connection from.
I mean,
that
movie is a notorious hot mess in more ways than one.
Yeah, totally. but also like great, and everybody should watch it for funsies. Yeah, and the first time I got into a car accident, funnily enough, just to link it back into blood, we had just been going to a party store to buy gallons of fake blood for a photo shoot. And so got into a car accident and I looked down at my feet and that was the bag of fake blood
no.
at my feet.
No.
And I had
this is the most Maxwellner story ever.
And I had this moment where I was like, should I? And we were all okay, right? Yeah. We were all like,
thank
nobody
goodness.
Was instantly hurt. There was no broken glass. There was nothing. It was like, this was very shocking, but it wasn't like super, super harmful. But I had this moment where just because I like fucking with people, I thought about picking up the blood and just like throwing it into the front window.
This is a story that you should tell people when you meet them so that they understand you.
Just in case you want the whole picture that is me. But I got out of the car and was like, huh, if there weren't other people around right now, I'd be really into having some sex. That would be great.
Interesting.
And it was only because like that little brain worm.
How long ago was this?
6 years ago, seven years ago.
Okay.
Maybe longer than that, but it.
So you were in your 20s.
Yeah, for sure. Early 20s. But I definitely, like, it was because that brain worm had been planted of, like, people who are aroused by car crashes. And then I was like, am I one of those people? I might be one of those people. Maybe that's because it's an adrenaline response. And I now associate a lot of adrenaline
with, like, sex events. Also, when you have to confront your mortality, you want to feel alive.
Yeah.
Quick story. Wait, you've played with fake blood, though? And, I mean, I guess there's fake blood in this book, unless it's real.
I'm gonna, yes and no. Yes.
Perfect.
And no.
So I made a zombie movie with a friend of mine. Like, you know, we've all pierced our ears with safety pins and made zombie movies, you know. This was also many years ago. And first thing I want to say, it was super fucking fun. I just played a victim. And we made, Karo syrup and red food dye, like, concoctions, right? And it was a very over-the-top, sort of campy movie. So I just, like, poured it all over myself, and I also, just filled my mouth with it right before the take, and then the zombie attacked me, and I just, like, puked this blood everywhere, like,
ah! Amazing.
I was very committed to that, and it looks so good. And I was like, I'm right. I'm a feminist porn award-winning pornographer. I understand film. And it was really fun. And afterwards, I just remember, I mean, maybe it was the sugar from the caro syrup, but I can't remember as an adult laughing so much. It made me feel like a little kid, like playing make pretend. And there's just something about the blood that it was so visceral and fun to just be like, ugh, gross. This is totally disgusting. And then afterwards, we went over, our friend owned the bar down the street, and we went over in the back to hose off. And we actually walked through the bar, and like, there were like a dozen people drinking in the bar, and they all stood up like, oh God. And they thought it was a bunch of people covered in blood that had just walked in the door, and they were like ready to call an ambulance. And we were like, no, zombie movie. But it was also kind of fun to like be fine, but see the fear in all of these people's eyes.
Yeah, it's super fun. I mean, I will totally say that in making this book, we all laughed like teenagers.
Carnal Anomaly.
Yeah.
Available at carnalanomaly.com.
That one.
It is fucking hard to say Carnal Anomaly, Max.
We've had so many conversations about this. The book is amazing.
It's really amazing,
the book
and
is
I
great,
love it.
And it's super pretty. And some of those moments that look really serious and really sexy, we were for sure laughing like 14-year-olds behind the scenes.
Sure.
Specifically the blacklight shoot. Not that has anything to do with blood, but when you see that blacklight shoot, you should be amazed.
Which you will,
that anything
you'll buy
worked.
The book. Mm-hmm. Buy the book.
All of you. Yeah, but blood, like, it's never not fun. Like, in fake blood, I've become very high class in my fake blood taste.
Oh, yes.
No more making of the fake blood. I go to this one shop in Toronto that has, like, arterial versus venous and, like, all this. Yeah, it's interesting.
What's the difference?
Thickness, like, consistency and, like, a little bit color. Like, one looks a little bit more congealed and dark, and one that's thinner and brighter.
Oh, I also have another. Wait, do you know Akira Rain?
I want to say yes.
She's porn star. We did a shoot together. She's very like heavily tattooed into horror movies, also into pissing people off. Love her. She's great. And we did a shoot for Crash Pad. Oh my God. Also so long ago. And we talked beforehand about what we wanted to do. And she was like, well, I have all this extra fake blood. So
it's like you're in my living room.
Let's just take it and then tell them that we're going to do a blood thing. And we got there, and Shine Louise Houston, to her credit, was like, and I think it had to do with the credit card processing, like terms of service or whatever. I don't think that she was necessarily against it, but she decided to you know, in general on Crash Pad, you can do whatever you want, including fisting and penetration with bondage, I think. Don't quote me on that. Definitely fisting. And it was interesting to be like, oh, this is not okay. Tub of fake blood. Not okay. And then after that, Akira, just like every single photo shoot she did.
just all fake blood.
I saw this old one on her Instagram the other day and I was like, that's my girl. Just like in a bikini and just covered in blood. No reason.
I mean, the interesting thing about me is that people now assume that I don't use fake blood. Like they just, like there's a couple shots. There's a shot of my hands actually in the book where people are like, that's for sure real. And I think people assumed it was menstrual blood.
Mm.
And that is fine. Oh yeah,
it's very...
it looks kind of clotted,
viscous,
like it looks, yeah. And it's because,
also very like Lady Macbeth, like right, like you're
yeah, washing
your
my hands. But it's because it's cold water and everything, and cold water gets a little congealy. But I mean, my brain went to like, well, I mean, it could have been menstrual blood, but I did that shoot like I got a friend to hold the camera and just like I sat a friend down and was like, I'm going to tell you when to click and I'm going to throw my hands in the water, And I don't menstruate anymore. So I would have had to, like, bring in another human to give me their menstrual blood.
Where would you find
Where would I find a menstruating human?
Listen, Max.
The world is so hard.
What time is it? You want some menstrual blood? Give me half an hour. I'll find you some menstrual blood. We're in 45th Street.
Yeah. And I, like, and people have started assuming, to the extent that, so funny story about, like, blood, but mainly just gore. I did a shoot a while back that involved a cow heart and a knife. Some of my favorite things. Just, like, a still life shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And that week, some student at Ryerson University, which is in downtown Toronto, some photo student also did a shoot with a cow heart or some other kind of livestock heart.
Yeah.
And threw it into the garbage. And the police thought it was a human heart. And so it was this whole scandal about, like heart found and then I think a day later like confirmed too big to be human, blah blah blah,
which is the name of your next book.
Confirmed too big to be human, for sure. That one I will take and run with.
Oh my god.
And like 7 people posted the article on my Facebook wall saying, this was you, wasn't it? Like,
oh,
everybody who knows me.
Aww.
Heard like body part found in dumpster and thought Maxwell Lander. Not even, because it wasn't even confirmed that it was for a photo shoot at one point. And people were like, that's gotta be Max. Was somebody did this? Somebody put a body part in it? I'm like, great. So I'm now apparently that person that uses real blood in all of my shoots and will put body parts in dumpsters. To be, just so that I'm clear of this, I chopped off the beef heart and fed it to my dog. there was no beef heart in the dumpster outside of my apartment. Because I didn't want scandal number 2. Out of right, it's very strange. This is what people think of me now. I just
it's
use
a good
all the
story.
Real blood.
Let me ask you one last question.
Okay.
Before I go hang out with Toni Morrison, who is also not afraid of blood.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, for sure. I would say that might have to do with some of my interest in blood.
Toni Morrison?
Yeah.
Oh,
very
do,
influential
do tell.
When I was a kid. I was obsessed with Toni Morrison when I was like 13 years old. And
oh my God, I love that.
Yeah, read all the books, loved all the imagery, loved the movie. It was, yeah.
That is so great.
Also, Jewel Gomez,
I'll let her know.
If we're jumping.
I'll let her know. Yeah. What is the so you have some tattoos?
I do.
I was actually, just as we were sitting here, I was noticing that you do have a drop of blood tattoo.
For sure do.
And I'm wondering if you can speak to the connection between an interest in body modification and an interest in all this other shit we've been talking about.
Yes, I probably can.
You also have a lot of piercings. Okay, let me be more specific. When you get tattooed,
mm-hmm,
or pierced,
am I a big sissy? Yes.
Oh, interesting. Is there, in terms of like your consciousness when that's happening, is there a relationship between your consciousness when you are playing with crossing those barriers erotically or aesthetically in your work? I sound like a real like art forum.
I know, I'm gonna mess that up. I'm gonna dumb down that whole question for you.
All right.
just in my response. What's funny is that I am not somebody who has an erotic response to body mod.
Okay.
Which a lot of people I know are.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of people who have erotic responses to body mods. And I'm not saying I don't love it when the person who's doing my body mod is somebody that I find kind of attractive. That makes it a little bit more fun for me, especially if they're going to be... I guess I've been pierced and tattooed by a lot of people that are shits and so want to, like, play with my general sissiness. That can occasionally be a fun thing. But, no, I mean, for me, body mod has much more to do with my body image stuff. And I started getting body mods, I started piercing my face, and it was specifically because I didn't like my face.
Oh, it's such a nice face.
I'm pretty okay with it now. Yeah, I feel like, but it was in, like, very much so, like, I'm going to pierce my mouth, and I'm going to pierce my nose, and I'm going to do all this stuff to kind of modify the parts of my body that I don't love. Inversely, when I started getting tattoos, I started with the parts of my body that I do love.
Interesting.
And it became this. I've actually had this conversation with a couple of people that piercing for me has always been kind of like a twisting or reclamation of a body part. It feels more personal. It feels almost spiritual. Like I'm kind of cool. Like making some kind of connection with a body part. So when I pierced my septum, it was definitely like my nose is the thing that people have always pointed out. It's not great having an upturned nose and being a fat kid. It's not always the best thing for general self-esteem.
Sure.
I feel pretty great about it now because I'm like, whatever, a big bull of a human and feel pretty great about that. But when I was a kid, it was definitely a sticking point. And so pierced it as a, like, this is the way that I'm going to like this body part.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And a year ago, I got 2 labia piercings. And that was for sure. I had to take them out because I love my bicycle more than I love labia piercings. But it is a hard choice. I was like, I can't stay off my bicycle any longer. And that was also about this, like, well, I have this body part and I'd rather like this body part. And I love piercings. I love the culture of piercings. I love the aesthetics of piercings. And so I'm going to do a thing that I love to a body part of mine that I don't love. So it's kind of a weird... But the actual process of it, I mean, it was weird having a guy, you know, like, just, like, poking, like, doing painful things to my junk. That was a weird thing where I was like, oh, I am only used to this conceptually being in one realm of my life. But okay, we'll do this in a different realm now, whatever. Yeah, but there's never, like, I find it more appealing in an I don't want to be, it is very simple, I just. I'm not interested in being normal in any way, shape, or form anymore. And I get more normal the more I look like a dude in the world, which is not a thing I love, but...
There's nothing normal about you, honey.
I know. I just don't want to look normal. And there's this big thing where, like, when you transition, you're like, I know. But that's because I'm pierced and tattooed. If I wasn't pierced and tattooed, I'd look like a douche bro. I have this problem all the time. I try and look fashionable every once in a while and, like, put on sunglasses that aren't aviators. Because aviators is how I bear dad cop, which is great, and I love that. But, like... Anything that is not an aviator ends up making me look like a douche bro. And I'm like I'm trying so hard not to douche bro, but I am 6'1" and 240 pounds and have a fade of a haircut. There's only one way this goes.
Well, I think you're overthinking it.
Probably. I should probably just get blood tattoos on my face.
And that is how we're going to end it. I really don't want to leave, but Toni Morrison awaits.
Yeah, no, Toni.
Carnalanomaly.com. Mm-hmm. And then there's also MaxwellLander.com, mm-hmm. right? At MaxwellLander.
2 L's, yeah.
2 L's. Mm. People can buy the book wherever fine books are sold.
Mm-hmm. And also some places.
No coffee table is... good conversation starter without it.
It's true. I will weed out your kinky friends with this one. If you want to know whether that friend of yours is secretly filthy like you, put this on your coffee table.
I really love the book. I'm very proud to have been a part of
midwifing it. Midwifing. That's an accurate. That would be an accurate.
I'm a book doula. A disgusting book doula.
It was my first time giving birth, and it was hard. There was a lot of blood involved. Tina made it easier.
I love you, man.
Oh, I love you also. Feelings.
Thanks for being on the show, and I can't wait till I see you again.
Yeah, soon, hopefully.
Great. The end.
Thank you.
listening to episode 36. Follow at Tina Horns Ass on Twitter, and yes, I now have an Instagram. Subscribe on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher, etc. And if you take the time to write a review, it really, really helps other people find this disgusting show. Visit wirepeopleintothat.com to subscribe to our newsletter and listen to our entire archive. We are a proud part of the Whorecast Network. Visit thewhorecast.com to find out more. As ever, Wired People Into That is produced and hosted by yours truly, Tina Horn. Our theme song is by Pine from Oakland, California. Our website was designed by Justin Levesque, and this project is now sponsored by my generous and gushing patrons. Join the party at patreon.com/TinaHorn. Until next time, I'll be getting plenty of iron in my diet.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.